We can begin this year. Okay.
Wait a minute, because it wasn't on tape. This year is in memory of Yechiel Michiel ben Naphtali Mitchaikin's father. I have a bottle. Please come by my house for a shot. Go ahead, Eli Weber. Say from its votes.
Thank you. We just moved. When you come to Parshas Mishpatim, it's often the case that people who've been following along really carefully, doing Shnai Mikra and Rashi's on the Parsha, this is a good place to drop out, right? Because till now it's been narrative. And, you know, it's pretty easy to follow the narrative. We've seen it many, many times before. You know, Mishpatim starts a different type. Really, Mishpatim starts the halacha section of Torah. You know, and if you look in all of Sefer, even the Sefer Achinuch, who counts mitzvos and Sefer Breishis, I forget what, there are not that many. But then you start in Shmos, and then obviously you come to Mishpatim, and Mishpatim is full of mitzvos. And it's fair to ask, you know, what makes a mitzvah more important, or, you know, is a mitzvah more important if it's in Sefer Mishpatim, if it's in Parshas Mishpatim? Well, the answer, the technical answer is no, of course not. Mitzvos are important because they're mitzvos Hashem, and all Taryag mitzvos are equally important. But it's hard to not notice, of course, said without the unnecessary double negative, it's hard to ignore the fact that, at least for the Ramban, you know, Mishpatim is the continuation of Maimon Har Sinai. It's real. The flow is simple. God gave us Aser Satibros. We told him enough. You know, Daber Atah Imanu V'Nishmav Al Yidaber Elokim Imanu Pen Namos. Moshe, we need you to speak. We can't, you know, it's too much to hear God. The sense you get in the Ramban is that God would have kept going. And that he can, you know, Mishpatim is more or less a continuation of Maimon Har Sinai. It was given to Moshe immediately after the Aseret HaDibros, either that day or the next day, but probably even that day. And then at the end of Mishpatim, you have what we call Brit Na'aseh V'Nishma, right? God, Moshe gathers everybody and they sprinkle blood. And only then does Moshe go up to Har Sinai. So there is a sense that the mitzvos in Mishpatim, and if you had to give a name to all of them, I guess they'd be civil law, right? Sort of, it was very important that the Jews got that first, and that when they said Na'aseh V'Nishma, it wasn't just on Aseret HaDibros, it was on all the things that are in Mishpatim. All this to get to the question of, what's Eved Ivri doing there? Eved Ivri is the very first mitzvah that we will see in Parshas Mishpatim. And it's fair to ask ourselves, is this the most important mitzvah? You know, is this the one that God wants to start us off with? And more to the point, if we had, and you know, I don't know if people do this, I do this, maybe it's not so religiously healthy, but if you walked around with a kind of list of mitzvos that bother you, you know, mitzvos that I'd, you know, so the top of the list would be Amalek. Everybody has that at the top of their lists. But then you come down to things like Eved Ivri and you say, really? The Torah wants a society in which there's slavery? And even if, okay, Eved Kenani, I could live with, they're Gentiles, and maybe they're old Avodah Zarah, and they've done all these terrible things, and back then, but Eved Ivri, right, one of the first mitzvahs we get as a people is the mitzvah of Eved Ivri. So unlike most days, I have an agenda today, and, you know, because we have mutual respect in this year, I want to share, like, I have an agenda. My agenda is to show everybody that we're wrong. That Eved Ivri is not such a bad thing. And in fact, Eved Ivri may be a good thing. That's the first point. The second point is that the fact that something is a mitzvah, and this is a point I've made before, the fact that you open up a Sefer HaMitzvos La Rambam and Eved Ivri is one of the mitzvos doesn't mean it's something that the Torah wants. When you open up the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, it also tells you it's a mitzvah to divorce your wife. Okay? That's something here, I'll be more careful, that many of us don't want. I'm not saying all. Hopefully it's all. But it's clearly not just circumstantial, but it's a circumstance that we'd rather not be in. But the halacha is, if you're in this circumstance, it's a mitzvah to handle it in this particular way. So Eved Ivri is, in fact, a mitzvah in the Torah. In fact, it's more than one mitzvah. If we have time, we'll talk about that. But I want to show you that it's not the way we see it. Okay? And the last thing, hopefully, we'll have time for is the line between mitzvos and values. It's true that if we take Torah seriously, then we're not trying to minimize it. It's not like, okay, there are 613 mitzvos, so I'll do those. It's that the 613 mitzvos teach us something. And they teach us how we're supposed to behave, even if technically the Torah didn't require particular behavior. We can learn, you know, what Rav Amital Zatzal used to call Ruach HaHalacha, the spirit of Halacha, or Rav Asher Weiss calls Ritzon HaTorah. I mean, he doesn't say it any place, but from the mitzvos that are in the Torah, you learn the behavior that God wants out of us. Okay, all that is the intro. Let's start reading. There it is. Okay. Now all I got to do is find my way back to the top.
Too large, Ellie. It's too large.
What?
It's too large.
I know, but it is. I forgot to make it bigger. Can people do it?
Bruce can, but I can.
I see if what I could do in 1 second.
On my phone, I could do it. No problem.
All right, fine. Here we go. So the Torah, the parsha starts as follows. Ve'eila ha-mishpatim asher tasim lifneihem. This is it. These are presumably, you know, the really, really important mitzvos, which is an exaggeration and not really fair. But this is the beginning of what we think of as the presentation of regular halachos. And again, these are the halachos that are necessary for a society to work. And the first one is, ki tikne eved ivri. Well, if you acquire an Eved Ivri literally a Jewish slave, so the first thing the Torah tells you, and the sense you get from this, is that immediately the Torah is limiting a pre-existing institution. If you have a Jewish slave, the maximum time you can keep him for is 6 years. On the seventh year, and Shemitah, he goes free. Okay, so again, the key in this case means, the word key means if. It's certainly not an imperative. Now, how does it happen? Right? How do you acquire a Jewish slave? You go out? You offer money? How does it work? So Rashi, in source number 2, tells us there's only 2 ways to acquire a Jewish slave. Ki tikne, miyad beit din. You bought the slave from Beis Din. How did Beis Din get him? Shemachruhu bignevato. Kimoshe ne'emar imein lo v'nimkar bignevato. A guy steals. He's caught. He's chayev kefel. He doesn't have the money. So Beis Din sells him. Beis Din sells him to pay back his debt. Okay, so it's not that he's punished by being sold as an Eved Ivri. That's not part of the institution. He owes money. In this case, it's not just that he owes money. He owes money because of his own crime, because he stole. He can't pay the money back, so Beis Din sells him to pay off his debt. Est Rashi, o'eino ela b'mochar atzmi v'pidoch hako. No, maybe this parsha is talking about a guy who needs money. He's so destitute, he's selling himself as a slave. Aval machru beitin lo yetzei b'sheish, right? In a way, it doesn't seem fair, says Rashi. The guy stole $1 million. And you're saying the maximum amount he could be a slave is 6 years? So the answer is yes. Says Rashi, there's another parsha in the Torah, in Parshas Bahar, that deals with the case of somebody who has a debt and can't repay it. So Hare Mocher Atzmam Docha Ko Amor, that case is already covered elsewhere. Umani Mekayim Ki Tikne B'Nimkar B'Beitin, says Rashi, and this is in fact the halacha. Even if you're a thief and you're caught and you can't repay the debt, you're still limited to a maximum of 6 years as an Eved Ivri. Now, it could be less than 6 years, right? Because you go out for Shemitah. So if you did it a year before Shemitah, the maximum amount of time that you would have to be an Eved Ivri is 1 year. I assume Beis Din can try to work that out. But the point I want to make, 1 second, Bruce, the point I want to make is there be only two circumstances in which you can become an Eved Ivri, in which a person can acquire an Eved Ivri. One, the person is destitute and has no way to pay his debts other than by selling himself. And the Torah says, fine, you could do that, but you're limited to 6 years max. Or worse, he's stolen, can't pay it back, and Beis Din sells him. But those are the only two circumstances. Okay, there's no crime that you can commit that allows Beis Din to sell you as an Eved Ivri. There's nothing you could do on your own. You know, you're busy, you have no time right now. There's nothing you could do on your own that allows you to sell yourself as an Eved Ivri unless you're actually destitute. Okay, let's keep going. Yes, Bruce.
If the debt could be repaid in only 1 or 2 years, is 6 the set amount no matter what?
No.
This work
no. 6 is the max. It can be a week. It could be a month. It could be a year. 6 is the max.
And is the family completely not sort of like called
in? Let's go. Give me a chance. We're just starting. Okay? Next pasuk might be your answer. In bigapo yavo, bigapo yetze. If he's single, so he becomes an Eved Ivri as he's single, and he leaves being single. In Baal Ishahu, if he has a wife and family, V'yatza'a Ishto Imo. When his time to go free comes, she goes free with him. Now, very, very important. Says Rashi, second Rashi in 2. V'yatza'a Ishto Imo. Wait, says Rashi. Who made her a slave that the Torah is mechadesh that she can leave when he leaves? She has nothing to do with this. Unbelievable halacha. Ela magida katu. Rashi says, no, the Torah is telling us shahakone eved ivri chayav bimizonot ishto uvanav. A person who acquires an eved ivri is obligated to give, you know, room and board to the wife and the children of the Eved Ivri. That's really kind of staggering, because you don't get paid for it. And she's not obligated to work for you. She's not an Amaha Ivriya. So to give away, you know, the beginning of my agenda here, obviously what I'm trying to do, because I used to be in the other camp, is notice that Eved Ivri is not as bad as we see it. Okay, the first thing I'm not in favor of slavery. Okay, I also, you know, knocked down statues of, what's the guy's name? Robert E. Lee. Okay, I'm not arguing in favor of slavery. What I'm saying is Eved Ivri is not slavery. So far, we've seen two halachos. One, it's limited to 6 years. Two, if you're married, your wife gets to come along for free. And your master, quote unquote, is obligated to support her and your children. Okay, now, a strange halacha, which maybe we'll get back to. Pasuk Dalet. Im Adonav Yitan Lo Isha V'Yalada Lo Vanim Lo Vanot. If the master gives her a wife and they have children together, then, unlike in the initial case, the woman doesn't go free. She stays with her master, and the master keeps the children. What's going on? Rashi and Dalet. Go down in source number two, and Rashi will explain. Mikan, from here we learn, Sheharishut biyad rabo, Limsar lo shivcha kina'anit laholid mimena abadim. Strange halacha. The master can give the Eved Ivri a shivcha kina'anis, a non-Jewish single woman, let's say, for the purpose of having children. And the children remain his property. I will acknowledge that this is not, you know, this sounds, I don't know, you know, 10th century, or it doesn't sound, it's not in line with what we're saying. This is a major machlok as well. Maybe we'll get back to it or not, whether he could do this to a single person or to a married person. But it's clear this is not a real marriage, because you can't marry a non-Jew. This is a technical thing. The master, quote unquote, can give you, and it could be that it needs your consent, a non-Jewish slave woman to have children with, and they're not your children, they're his children. Says Rashi, O Eino Ela B'Yisraelis. No, maybe this is talking about an Amah Ha'ivriya, Talmud Lomer Ha'isha V'Ladea Tiyela Adonah. No, the wife and children remain the property of the master. Ha'eino Medaber Ela B'Knanis. This can only be talking about a Shifcha K'nanis. Why? Sharei Ha'ivriya Afi Yotza B'Shesh, because we've already seen a Jewish woman, she's going to leave in 6 years no matter what. Even before 6 years, if you're talking about a Jewish maidservant, as soon as she shows signs of maturity, she goes free. Okay, fine. So we've seen now a strange halacha. The first halacha was you're limited to 6 years. 1 second. I'm giving a shiur. I'll call you back at 10. Sorry.
Okay. Was the sentence ever delayed to make sure he gets 6 years? If he's
stole, I couldn't hear. Say again.
Was the sentence ever delayed if he stole a month before?
I was thinking of that. I don't know for sure. I was thinking that if the right thing is to delay the sentence because the guy owes $100,000 and it's 2 weeks before Shemitah. Right, I was thinking just like you are. Maybe the sentence can be delayed to help with that, because it seems unfair otherwise. I have to look that up. I'm not sure. Okay, but let's go back to finish the psukim. So again, it's limited to 6 years. He has to support your wife and children. But then there's a strange halacha that he can give you a Gentile maidservant to have children with. Okay, now you come to this really strange thing. Because our opinion, our sense of just the word Eved, it's so negative. Who would want to do this if they didn't have to? And then Pasuk Hey, Im Amar Yomar HaEved, Ahavti Et Adoni Et Ishti Et Banai Lo Eitzei Chavshi. The Eved says on his own, Bezdin shows up and says, good news, today's your last day. And he says, I don't want to go. My life is really good here. It's almost inconceivable. And says the Torah, they're good. V'hi gisho Adonav el ho'elohim. The master takes him to court. V'hi gisho el adelet o'el ha'mezuzah. Takes him to the door or to the mezuzah, the doorpost. V'ratza Adonav et azno ba'marzeya. He pierces his ear with like, a, I don't know, a piercing thing. Va'avado le'olam. We could do a whole shir on va'avado le'olam. Why? Because it turns out it doesn't mean la'olam, right? The word avado la'olam obviously means that he's his slave forever. Yet, the Gemara darshins, la'olam means olamo shel yovel. That even then, the Torah steps in and says, you want to be a slave? the maximum amount of time you could be a slave is until the next Yovel. But you see this circumstance in which this guy wants to stay on. And the sense you get is that there's something different going on here than the way we imagine slavery, and certainly, you know, the way it existed in North America for sure. Okay, that's all by way of introduction. Now, what's strange, but what is the fact, is that this whole thing that we just talked about is a mitzvah. Look at source number three. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvos Aseh, Reish Lamed Bez 232, says, what's the mitzvah? Shetzivanu Bidin Eved Ivri. What does it mean? Shetzivanu Bidin Eved Ivri. What's the... So if you read it quickly and you didn't think about it, you would think what the Rambam just said is everybody is commanded to have an Eved Ivri. But that's not what the Rambam says. What the Rambam says is everybody is commanded in the din of Eved Ivri, which means if you're in a circumstance where Eved Ivri is an option, keeping the rules of Eved Ivri is a mitzvah. Just like if, God forbid, you want to divorce your wife, or seems inconceivable, she wants to divorce you, okay, and you agree, there's a mitzvah to do it in the way of writing a get with 2A, all the particulars apply to you. But again, nobody thinks it's a mitzvah you want to do, right? There's a mitzvah that if you stole, you have to return it. Nobody thinks you should steal so that you can return it, okay? And a whole category of mitzvahs like that. So what does it mean that it's a mitzvah? Again, it means that if you're in the circumstance, you have to follow the rules. And if you follow the rules, then it's a mitzvah. But I want to suggest something that I don't have a lot of support for. It just, I didn't see it come up anyplace, but I think about it. We're about to see how burdensome it really is to have an Eved Ivri. You'll see. It's not what we think. All the rights belong to the Eved Ivri, not to the master. I want to suggest now, and I'm happy for people to disagree with me, but I want to suggest now that having an Eved Ivri might be a mitzvah of the type that we should aspire to. By which I mean, you have a person. He can't pay his debts. Or worse, he's a criminal. And he needs to be rehabilitated. Now, it turns out that you have to take in his wife. You have to take in his children. You have all other obligations. And it could be that a person says to himself, I don't need this headache. You know, I don't need people making fun of me for having a slave. They'll take down my statue one day because I was involved in slavery. Why do I need that? But it could be that despite what I said, having an Eved Ivri is a mitzvah in the sense that you're doing more for him than he's doing for you. Okay, let's leave that out there as at least a possibility. And now let's spend time, something we don't normally do. Let's read halachos. Let's read halachos in the Rambam. Obviously, in Shulchan Aruch, there is no Hilchos Avadim. Why not? Because it only applies when Zan Shabbat Samigdash HaYakayim, when there was a Bezdin and Shemitah and Yovel. So it doesn't apply Bizman HaZeh. So the only place you really find the halachos are in the Rambam. But I think if we take a few minutes to read the halachos in the Rambam, a different picture will emerge of the institution of Eved Ivri than we would have thought previously. So let's look. Almost everything important is in the first parak of Hilchos Avadim, right? The Rambam has this thing called Hilchos Avadim, the laws of slavery. And here's how it starts. Okay, everybody with me? I just turn to the next page. Eved Ivri Ha'amur BaTorah. Who is an Eved Ivri that the Torah refers to in this week's parsha? Says the Rambam, Ze Yisraeli Shemichara Oto Betin Al Karcho. it's a Jew. It's a Jew who Bezdin sold against his will. O hamocher atzmo liritzono, or he willingly sold himself. Now that's going to be limited also. So again, same two circumstances we saw in Rashi, same circumstances that exist in the Gemara. Ketzad. That's the Gemara. That's the Rambam. What's the case? Ganav ve'ein lo lishalem et hakeren. You stole, and unlike what I said at the beginning, it's not that you don't have enough to pay kefel, double, or the fine, dalet ve'hei, four or five times. You don't have enough to repay the principal. You don't have enough to repay simply the amount that you stole. Says the Rambam, Bezdin mochrin oto, kimo shamarnu b'Hilchos Geneva. Bezdin sells him. They have the right to sell him like we said in Hilchos Geneva. Okay, now, so that's the first thing. The first thing is the Rambam limits that they don't sell you for paying back the fine. They only sell you for an inability to pay back the principal. Now, what about the person? Okay. Now, how broadly does this go? So says the Ram, not at all. Ve'ein lecha ish bi Yisrael shemochim oto beitin ela haganav bilvad. Don't think that Bezdin has the right to sell people. No. Bezdin can only sell a thief. Va'al zesha machru beitin hu omer ki tikna eved ivri. And that's the pasuk in this week's parsha. When it says ki tikna eved ivri, the case is that Bezdin sold him. Va'alav hu omer b'mishnah Torah ki mocher lecha achicha ha'ivri, mocher atzmo ketzad. Wait, so what's the other case? Where you sell yourself. The Rambam says, what's that case? Ketzad. Ze Yisrael sheheani biyoter. This is a Jew, says the Rambam, who's become not a little bit poor, not who's struggling to pay his debts, but he's destitute. Natna lo Torah rishut limkor et atzmo. The Torah gives limited permission for a person to sell himself as an eved ivri. That's where he's destitute. Shenamar ki yamuch achicha imach v'nimkar lach. Psukim in Bahar, not in this week's parsha. Now listen to how the Rambam limits the law. Ve'eino rashai limkar et atzmo lahatznia et damav. O liknot b'hem schora o kelim, o litnem l'ba'al chov. Ella im kain sarich lo'ochlan bilvad. Says the Rambam, you decide that you have 6 months free. You know, you're a poor guy, but you're not destitute. You know, and being a slave for 6 months would not be so bad. And you won't have to pay for rent. And you won't have to pay for food because the Baal takes care of all these things. You could put away some money. Right? You'll get money for being a slave. You'll put it away. Says the Rambam, no, you're not allowed to do that. You have to really be destitute. It has to be the case that if you don't sell yourself, you can't eat dinner. Or your children or your wife won't be able to eat dinner. Ve'ein adam rashai limkar tatzmo ad shelo yishaer lo klum. You can only sell yourself as a last resort. You don't have anything. Va'afilu ksut lo tisha'er lo. You don't even have a suit or a jacket or pants that you could sell. Va'achar kach yimkar tatzmo. Okay? So the Rambam enforced, but even made clearer how limited the institution of Eved Ivri is. And I'll say in my words, how much the Torah didn't want people to be Eved Ivris. Right? The circumstance is, there's only one circumstance that Bezdin can sell you. You stole and you can't pay back the principal. There's only one circumstance in which you sell yourself. And that is not that you're poor, not that you're struggling. You simply have nothing to eat. You have absolutely no alternative. There's nothing else you can do. In which case, the Torah allows for the institution of Eved Ivri. Okay, that's first. We'll come back to that because that sort of sets the...
I have a question to ask you.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, Torah doesn't say anything that you can sell yourself. You are free. Maybe you owe some money, whatever it is. But then you owe the money, that's it. But it doesn't say that you're an Evan Ivry. There's no Evan Ivry.
Would it be okay if I disagreed?
You can.
There is such a thing as Evan Ivry. It's in this week's Parsha. All I'm saying is, you know, there's two ways to look at it. Wow, the Torah is insensitive. The Torah believes in the institution of slavery. And the Torah presents it at the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim as like something you should do. It's a mitzvah. And I'm pointing out that that's not the case. The Torah allows for the institution of Eved Ivri on an extremely limited basis. And all the halachos are to try to make it less slave-like and more humane. I'll say it now because Irving is forcing my hand. I was saving it for later. It doesn't matter. What's the alternative? A person, you know, has no place to turn. He has no money. He has no way to support his family. He's tried everything. It's not his fault. Or he's a criminal and he has no way to pay back. I think what the Torah is saying is we're going to harness what's normally seen as an immoral relationship. Slavery is not something the Torah wants. But how else is this guy going to get back on his feet? One second. He's all out of options. So the Torah says it's a form of bankruptcy. It's a form of bankruptcy protection. And now I'll show you, it's you know, bankruptcy has obviously become a joke. If you know anything about it, you know, plenty of rich people declare bankruptcy. And they have more money than any of us will ever have in our lifetimes, 10 times over. That's not what the Torah is talking about. But why, let's do halacha vav before you say anything, just to see exactly how the Torah sees the relationship. Here we go. Kol eved ivri asur la'avod bo befarach. You're not allowed to give him back-breaking work, or I'll call it busy work. What is, you know, backbreaking work? Which is interesting because the Torah in Shmos, in Parsha Shmos, describes our work in Egypt as being befarach. So the Rambam says, Zo avodah she'ein lo kitzva. It's never-ending work. Va'avodah she'eino tzarich la ela tihiyem machshavto la'avido bilvad shelo yivatel. It's work that the master doesn't need done. He just wants to show that he controls the Eved, and it bothers him that the Eved is reading a novel in the afternoon. So he tells him, you know, take this toothbrush and mop the floor with it. Now that's ridiculous. You don't use a toothbrush to clean the floor, but when they want to punish you, you know, all the good examples of in books and things, they give you a toothbrush. Okay, what's the example the Rambam uses? He doesn't use the toothbrush one. I wonder if the Rambam knew about toothbrushes. Mikan amru chachamim, shelo yomar lo ador tachat hagifanim ad she'avo, shehare lo natan lo kitzva. If you say to your servant, I'm going out now for the afternoon, I want you to hoe in the yard until I get back, that's avodas parach. Meaning, it's fine to tell the slave, I want you to hoe the backyard. That's for a purpose. It takes an hour, it takes 10 hours, it doesn't matter, that's work. But to tell him, I want you to keep, you know, there must be a better word than hoeing or plowing the backyard till I get back. That's punitive, right? That's just making him feel like a slave, showing that you control him. Says Ram, that's also. Elo yomar lo ador ad sha'a plonit. Okay, I want you to plow until 3 o'clock. Oh, ad makom plonit, until you finish the field. Similarly, v'chein, lo yomar lo chafor makom zeh. Don't tell him, you know, dig here. V'u eno tzarich lo v'afilu lahache. Okay, but and you don't need it. Meaning, it's fine to tell your slave, your Eved Ivri, dig a hole in the backyard. But it's not, that's if you need a hole. But if you're just telling him to dig so that, you know, he stays in practice so that you, you know, you're keeping him busy, that's asur. Va'afilu lahachem lo kos shel chamin, even to ask him for a cup of hot water, o lahatzein, or cool off the water, ve'einot sarichlo, but you don't want a hot drink. You don't want your drink cooled off. You're just sort of showing that you're the master and he's a servant. Asur. That's prohibited, says the Rambam. Va'over Allah below tase. That's an Isur Torah. Shenemar lo tir devo befarach. You can't work him unnecessarily. Hu eino oselo ela davar katsuf shu tzarichlo. You can only have him do work that's necessary. And that's limited either by time or by the scope of the work. So here in Halacha Vav, you start to see that the Torah prohibits the worst parts of slavery. Essentially, the Torah prohibits you from, you know, setting up this master-servant relationship. You're allowed to work for your, you know, I think what the Torah is saying is, we may call him an Eved Ivri, but you can't treat him like an Eved Ivri. You have to treat him like a worker. And when you have a worker, he does real work for you. He doesn't do fake work for you. He doesn't do busy work for you, you know, in the right relationship. So immediately you see the Rambam, based on many Gemaros, describing Eved Ivri as sort of a fair relationship. To say it's a relationship between equals wouldn't be honest. But to say the Torah is trying to protect the dignity of the slave, that's clear. Yes,
please. How much cotton can I make him pick?
That's just a song. That's what a song that you shouldn't know.
What happens when no one wants to purchase this fellow?
I don't know. I'll come to that at the end. And but right now,
no such idea of bankruptcy, that idea doesn't exist because the debt must get paid somehow. Either he's a worker, a servant, or his family steps in. It's sort of like
it's hard to know. The Torah certainly, I don't think that the idea of bankruptcy as it exists in American civil law applies in halacha. Meaning, I think the debt remains. The Torah gives you away. Now, I think this probably the Torah has ways to pressure you to forgive debts from time to time. But I think you're probably right that, you know, it's not like a bankruptcy plan where you owe $1 million, but, you know, you work for 2 weeks and we'll make it go away because we don't really like the rich guys. I'm not sure. But here, I think the question you're going to ask was a different question, which is who would do this?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Right. Who would hire a 75-year-old one-legged guy who happens to be in debt?
Okay, good. And now it gets worse before it gets better. Look at Halacha Zayin. Kol Eved Ivri Asur Li Yisrael Shekanahu Lahaavido Bidvarim Bozim Shehei Miyuchadim Laasoto Abadim. Says the Rambam, in addition, you can't make him do slave work even if there's a need. What's slave work? Okay, I'm going to the bathhouse. You carry my towel and my shampoo. You know, take off my shoes. This is not incredibly hard work, but it's slave work. Literally, an Eved Ivri cannot do the work of an Eved. So what work can he do? Says the Rambam, Eino noheg bo ela kisachir. He can only do the work that a paid worker would do. Shenamar kisachir kitoshav yihyeimach. He does the work that you would that a day worker or a regular worker would do. Okay, now. Bamed Dvarim Amurim, says the Rambam, to whom does this rule apply that he doesn't do slave work? Be'eved Ivri. That's talking about an Eved Ivri. Mipnei shenafsho shfeila b'mechira. That's because if you sold yourself because you're destitute, you're down, you're depressed, you're sad. And so to make you do slave work will just, it'll make you even worse. Aval Yisrael shalonim kar, mutar lehishtamesh bo ke'eved, sharei eino oseh melacha zo ela birtzono umidat atzmo. This is unbelievable. Says the Rambam, a person who out of destitute is forced to become an Eved Ivri cannot be required to take off your shoes, cannot be required, you know, to carry your towel to the bathhouse, because that's demeaning work. And this is a person who can't be demeaned because he's already down on himself. He already feels like a failure. But a regular worker can do that. Says the Rambam, if you decide to work for your neighbor, I don't know, because you'd like some spending cash, you know, you have a few weeks before the next semester, then he can give you slave work to do. Why? Because we're not afraid of you, because you're not a slave and you don't have a slave mentality and you're not depressed. We're not worried about any of these things. It's incredibly sensitive of the halacha to literally say, Eved Ivri can't do Eved work. Another person can. And why? Because the other person is not down on himself. Yeah, he wants some spending money. He's not wildly successful, but he didn't force himself into slavery. Okay, so again, you see, much like, even though it's not exact parallel, like bankruptcy law, right? There are all these protections for the worker. It might be called Eved Ivri, but it seems far from it. Last example. And this is really the clincher. Halacha Tet. Everybody pay attention. Here we go. This famous stuff. Says the Rambam. Kol Eved Ivri, O Amaha Ivriya. Male or female Jewish servant. Chayav Ha'adon Lahashvotan Lo B'ma'achol U'v'mashke B'ksus U'b'mador. An incredible halacha. Says the Rambam. The Eved Ivri has to eat, has to have access to the same food that you eat, the same drink that you drink, the same clothing that you wear, the same sleeping arrangements that you have. Shene'emar, ki tov lo imach. Right? Why does the Eved Ivri want to stay? Because life is good. It's not even, you know, Downton Abbey. You're not even down there. You're sleeping upstairs. Shelo tehei ata ochel pat naki, says the Rambam, you don't get to eat white bread. Vu ochel pat kibur, and he eats, I don't know, older bread. Ata shote yain yashan, you're drinking, you know, cordon blanc, blah, blah, whatever. And he's getting kedem. No. Vuhu shote yain chadash, he needs to drink the same wine you drink. Ata yashen al gabe mukin, you sleep on a bed. Vahu Yoshein al Gabe Ateven, and he sleeps on straw. Atar da Bekrach, you sleep in a city or in beautiful. Vahu da Bekfar, no. Oh, Atar da Bekfar, Vahu Yoshein Bekrach. You have to stay in the same place. Shenemar, Viyatsa Me'imach. He leaves from you. Mikan Amru, Kala Kone Eved Ivri Ki Kone Adon La'atzmo. Literally, if you buy an Eved Ivri, it's as if you bought a master, not a servant. V'chayav linhog bo minhag achva. And you have to treat him in a brotherly way. Shenemu uva'achechem b'nei Yisrael. V'af al pikein. Okay, but it's something. Nevertheless, tzaricha eved linhog ba'atzmo minhag abdut ba'otan ha'avodot shu osela. Okay, but the slave, the Eved Ivri, you know, he has to be reasonable. He has to work hard, right? You know, he can't sit at the table getting drunk and then saying, I can't work this afternoon. But other than that, all the rights reside with the Eved Ivri. Said another way, if you asked me, you know, if you go back to Bruce's question, who in the world would do this? Who in the world would acquire an Eved Ivri when you got to pay for the wife, you got to pay for the kids? He's got to live in living conditions similar to you. You can't even treat him like an Eved, and you're not allowed to ask him to do Eved work. Who wants that? And here I go back to the original question, and I think maybe only it's tzaddik. Maybe that's the mitzvah of Eved Ivri. Because it's not a good business proposition. If it was up to me, let these guys find their own way. Right? It strikes me. One second. It strikes me, and this I'm completely making up, but it strikes me that if you found a guy in the old days who had 10 Eved Ivris, he was probably thought of as like the nicest guy in town. Because it's not good business to do it. Yes, Danny.
I was going to suggest, I think, what's maybe a much more straightforward explanation, which is simply that it was a cultural, societal thing in those days that everyone who had any kind of money had slaves. And the Torah didn't view it favorably and tried to limit it as much as possible. And, you know, from the point of view of the Rambam, that fits in absolutely fine, just the way he describes the korbanot. It was something that was going on in the world. Everyone was doing it. Let's try and wean them off it, slowly but surely.
So I can't say that, you know, that you're wrong, but I think you're wrong in the following way. You're right. The idea that the Rambam sees certain mitzvos as, you know, bidieved, in the sense that, okay, God couldn't just cancel them, so he tried to harness them towards Avodat Hashem. That's certainly the Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim. Less so in the Yad HaChazaka, but you're 1,000% right. That's the Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim. I just don't see it here. You know, I see the Rambam describing an institution of Eved Ivri that's not really Avdus. Right? It's almost like we needed a better word. And you have to understand something. This isn't just the Rambam. This is the Rambam based on many, many Gemaros. You know, it wouldn't be fair to say the Rambam has created this rationalization for Eved Ivri. 90% of this is straight out of Gemaros. So,
yeah, but if you look at the other Chazakah about Korbanot, you also won't find a description of the reason behind why Hashem gave us Korbanot. You'll find that in Moreh Nevuchim, right?
Good. But I, you know, as Rav Lichtenstein said more than once, you know, if you had to choose between who you thought the Rambam really was, the person who wrote the Moreh and the person who wrote the Yad HaChazaka, you know, we're voting for the Yad HaChazaka Rambam. But okay, I'm just saying, when you read it here, I can't dismiss it. I'd like to, but I can't dismiss it because you're right. You're right about the Rambam in the Moreh, and you're right about the approach to Korbanot. I don't know that the Rambam says this about the institution of slavery in the Moreh. Maybe you do. I just don't know. I've never come across it, so I can't say it for sure.
I don't.
But you're
I
right.
Think he says
the
app.
What?
No, I don't think he says it explicitly. But
okay. So I'm saying, but yeah, it's not a great argument that the absence of something doesn't prove the opposite. But fine, I hear what you say. Let's just very quickly point out something else. And this is not a Rambam, and maybe it's why the Rambam doesn't bring it, and maybe it will convince Danny, maybe it won't. Look at source number 5. As I mentioned, Mishpatim, bizarrely, is not the only place in which the institution of Eved Ivri is described in the Torah. It's in at least 3 parshios. It's like somehow, like it's really, really important. Okay, here's Parshas Re'eh, source number 5 in Dvar. Ki macher lecha achicha ivri o ha-ivriya va'avadcha sheish shanim va'ashviyish tzirshan shachavshim eimah. We know that. Now here's the new thing. Yud Gimel. V'chi tishalchenu chavshim eimah lo tishalchenu reikam. You might have thought, okay, after 6 years he goes. No, the Torah says don't send him out empty-handed. Ha'aneg ta'anikla. We did this many years ago. This narrow mitzvah. Give him a pension, give him money, right? From your flocks, from your threshing floor, from your vineyard, based on what God has blessed you, you should give him. And now it gets personal. You were once slaves. And God redeemed you. Here, it sounds really, really positive. God is telling you, I took you out from Egypt. You play God. And don't just take this person out. Rather, Look at Rashi in source number 6. V'zachartok yevad ayisa v'he'enakti v'shaniti lecha mi'bizat mitzrayim u'bizat hayam afata ha'anek v'shanelo. Says Rashi, based on a Gemara, when I took you out of Egypt, I did not take you out empty-handed. It was a big deal, remember? God tells Moshe, you know, please tell the Jews, v'sha'ala yisha mishchento migarat nafsha, klei chesev uklei zahav usmalot, right, v'nid saltem et mitzrayim. Please, loot Egypt. Why? Because I promised the avos, v'acharei chen yetzu b'rchush gadol. Says Rashi, that's what the Torah is saying now. God didn't just free us from slavery, he freed us and he gave us a gift. So now, on top of all the things we've already seen in the Rambam, all the restrictions and all the difficulties and all the reasons not to ever want to have an Eved Ivri, here's another one. And again, this isn't the Mar Nevuchim, this is a pasuk in the Torah. It's the mitzvah of Ha'anaka, which for our purposes I would describe as retirement benefits. Here's the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, source number 7. Mitzvah Taseh Kuv Tzadivav, Hu Shetzivanu Leha'anik Eved Ivri Kishayetzeh LaChavshi. You have to give money to your Eved Ivri.
Can I say something, Ellie?
Yes.
I interrupt you, sir. In Mitzrayim, they were getting paid because they didn't get paid when they worked, but here you're paying off the debt, so they did get paid in a way. They did get
Good.
Paid.
And nevertheless.
And right, nevertheless. Right? Why?
Okay, so now another interesting thing, which we're not going to have time to discuss, and that is, this is a separate mitzvah. Meaning we start with a mitzvah in the Rambam that said there's a din called Eved Ivri, and we pointed out that there didn't seem to be an imperative, it just seemed like if you're in this situation, this is how you should do it. Here, there's an act that's required. Once you have an Eved Ivri, says the Rambam, he shetzivanu leha'anik. Leha'anik is a verb. To pay the Eved Ivri when he goes free. And yes, I think you're exactly right. It's not part of the bargain. You know, this is a gift that he's not really entitled to. On the other hand, if you see the institution of Eved Ivri as being a form of bankruptcy, as being a form of restructuring, as putting him back on his feet, so you say to yourself, well, of course, if you now paid off his debt and he leaves, he's got nothing in his pocket. Well, what are the odds that, certainly in the case of the thief, that he's not going to go back to his, to his evil ways? So the answer is, yeah. If we really want to rehabilitate this guy, we have to give him money. We have to give him a fighting chance. And we'll finish. There's tons more to talk about. We're running out of time with a great Sefer Achinuch on this mitzvah of ha'anaka, of paying money to the slave, to the Eved Ivri. And I have to stop saying slave because I think we need a new word. It's clearly not slavery. Says the Chinuch, Mishor Sha Mitzvah. What's the rationale? Lema'an nikne b'nafshenu, says the Chinuch. The benefit is for us. I say us, assuming we would be the masters. For us to acquire midot me'ulot yikarot b'chamudot. The greatest, most valuable character traits. V'im ha'nefesh ha'yikara v'ha'me'ule nizkeh la'tov. And classic chinuch, the better we are, the better character traits we have, the more likely we are to merit God's goodness. V'ha'keh la'tov chafetz le'hitiv la'amo. God wants to do good for us. V'hodeinu v'hodeinu v'hadareinu. Our splendor is shenirachem al misha avad otanu v'natan lo mishalanu b'torat chesed milevad ma shehitnenu imo latet lo bischaro. Says the Chinuch, really, this is amazing. He says, the Torah is requiring us to give tzedakah. We don't owe this money, but we do. Why do we owe the money? Because the Torah says so, not because it was the deal. Okay, and he says it's so, you know, intuitive that the Torah wants us to be better people. He says, Ein tzarech la'arich, but I don't have to explain it. And then at the very end of the mitzvah, much later, right, every mitzvah in the Chinuch has like a rationale in the middle. Then the very bottom is the end is v'noheged mitzvah zol b'schoyim u'kivah b'zman habayit. Okay, the mitzvah of supporting, you know, your servants existed only when there's a bet, when there was a bezdin, because that's when they had eved ivri, etc., etc. Umikal makom. Last two full lines. Af bizman hazeh, says the chinuch, but there's a part of this that applies to us bizman hazeh. Yishma chacham v'yosef lekach. If we look at the Torah's halacha, we learn not a halacha, but a Torah value. Shim sachar echad mibnei Yisrael va'avado zman merubeh. If you have a worker, a housekeeper, a cleaner, whatever, and he or she worked for you for an extended period of time, or afilu muat, or even a short period of time, he says, she'ya'anik lo bitseito me'imo me'asher berecho Hashem. You should give this person a gift from what God blessed you, right? Mandatory tzedaka. It's really extraordinary. And this doesn't exist anyplace. It's not even a halacha. But the chinuch is essentially saying, I've looked at all these halachos. I've looked at the way the Torah wants me to treat my Eved Ivri. And I conclude the following. We need to do that for all kinds of workers, all kinds of employees, not just Eved Ivris. How do I know this? It's not a halacha. It's a Torah value. I know for sure, says the Sefer HaChinuch, that the Torah wants me to treat my employees exceptionally well. And I learned from the din of Eved Ivri in Hanukkah that that requires, to a certain extent, me giving them money that I'm not legally obligated to give them. Okay, so hopefully I've convinced you, so I'm running a second late. Hopefully I've convinced you that Eved Ivri not only isn't, like, God forbid, a blot or a stain on the morality of the Torah and Halacha, it's the opposite. It is harnessing what we would have thought of as a terrible social relationship and turning it into some kind of rehabilitation and some kind of thing that fixes society. And I think that's why it's the first sort of halacha that we're given in Mishpatim after Aseres HaDibros. Because our obligation to take care of the lowest members of society, you know, applies even when it doesn't seem fair. And at the end of the day, I think the person who has an Eved Ivri is not taking advantage of somebody. He's a tzaddik. Okay, shkach to everybody. We're late. See you next week. Have a great week.
Thank you, Ellie. Thank you very much. Good morning.